Now, raise up your Bible and let me see all the Bibles that are here this morning. Just raise it up. And love it when I see so many Bibles, our instruction manual that Christians live by. I want you to turn in that Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Now, let me set up this message. As some of you know, since I'm pretty much home more, a little more regular, just, you know, I'll be gone just a few Sundays here and there just because of some commitments. You know, I minister to a bunch of high school kids in a week or two, and then I have to go to Dattle, New Mexico, and do a big camp meeting that was scheduled 6 months ago, and I've done a service in San Angelo at that big rope and fiesta. There'll be hundreds and hundreds that go to watch that fiesta. It's a calf roping and a steer roping. And so for probably 30 plus years, Glenn Smith and Ann have done a church service, and about 10 to 15 years ago they turned it over to me. Now, most of you know Glenn Smith is in heaven, and Ann was here last week, still doing great, living in Midland. So I, you know, I'm pretty much here, but here's what the Lord has been speaking to me as I was gone. And then when I returned, just some things that we had to deal with. Like last week, we dealt with that spirit of anger, marriage problems, and loneliness, and depression, and all those things that I believe, because of us being in the last days, are the enemies really attacking in different areas. We dealt with health issues last week, and I don't know, half of the congregation came up here, and we just laid hands on them and began to believe God. And if you got some deliverance, or you was healed, or you had some areas that you got set free in, I want you to tell us sometime. Let us know. Write us on email or something, and send us a note, just because that builds us up. And so with that said, I want to minister another message with the title being two words. You want to know what it is? Does anybody want to know? You'd like to know? Two words called stir up. Stir up. Not a stirrup you put your foot in, but two words, stir, S-T-I-R, and then up. The Bible talks about it many times. And actually, I'm going to minister this message to several hundred ministers, pastors and evangelists and prophets and so on. But I want to go in a little different way with this church, because I believe that we need to get stirred up. We need to get fired back up. I begin to look at that word stir in the Bible, and we're going to see it in 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to read pretty much the whole chapter, but in the Greek, that word stir, and in some of the Hebrew words, just simply means to re-enkindle. I mean, you kind of understand kindle with wood, right? How it can make a fire. It means to awaken. You'll see it in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 7, how we're to wake up, you know, some things, to disturb some things. Again, we're going to see here in 2 Timothy how it's talking about a flame. In 2 Peter chapter 1 about verse 13, and then in chapter 3 and verse 1, how the Bible talks that this word stir literally means to awaken from a sleep. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 13, that word stir literally means to shake to and fro. So let's talk about it for a minute, because listen, it's time for God's people to wake up. It's time for God's people to not be sitting in the in the seats of a church full of the spirit of deadness. That's why last week, I give you permission today and any time I preach, that I want you talking back to me. Say amen. I want you to go, that's right, I agree with that, because there's power in agreement. Any marriage that's going through a tough time or a relationship that's being built, man, when you have the spirit of the covenant of God all in your relationship and you have that power of agreement, I mean, when nothing can get in the middle of that relationship, man, I'll show you a very strong relationship. I mean, people that read the Bible together or pray together, there's an agreement in the spirit of God that, man, that devil can't get in there. He'll try, and he'll try to bring up walls and trials and tribulations. But if you are under the covenant of God, in his secret place of the Most High, abiding under his shadow, as Psalms 91 talks about, then that's when you can literally declare with your mouth that he is your refuge and he's your fortress. In him you trust. Matter of fact, it goes on to say, man, when you trust him and he's encamped over you and you're in the midst of the anointing of Jesus Christ, the anointed one, that's when you can literally speak to any mountain that might be going on in your life and command that mountain to be cast into the sea. But it's going to take a stirring up, a getting fired back up. Because listen, I was saved when I was 10 years old, and I'll never forget going to Mom and Dad. This was May the 10th, 1979. That's right, I'm 50. 50 young. I was so excited. I went, and it was at my uncle was the pastor of the Otis Baptist Church there in Otis, New Mexico, right outside of Carlsbad. Man, I went back, and I said, Mom and Dad, I gave my life to Jesus. Now, my dad was a pastor. Mom was, they'd been in the ministry for a while. My dad got his license to preach in 1970. And then later on in the 90s, I believe, he went to Rhema Bible College and got another degree. I mean, we were raised in the ministry, but I was 10. And I just went to a vacation Bible school, and I gave my life to the Lord. I was so excited. I said, Dad, Mom, you won't. I gave my life to Jesus, and of course they were thrilled. But then as time went on, and I was still fired up, age 13, went to a camp, a little Bible camp. That's when some things happened in my life. I knew right at 13, got filled with the Holy Ghost right there. At 13 years old, I knew I was supposed to preach the gospel. Well, then more time went on, and I went to college, dating a girl. Most of y'all know that was still a senior in high school as I had left for college. And we'd been dating for a couple of years, assumed we was going to get married. She had a beautiful voice, homecoming queen. I mean, we sang at church services together. And then one day, she calls me on the telephone. Did you hear what I said? She calls me on the telephone. That's why I hate texting. Don't text me anything. Just call me. I don't mind a text on some stuff. And you might get one from me, but no, I want to hear your voice. Because my one fat finger doesn't work like those kids' both thumbs do, okay? She calls me on the phone, brother. And she said, hey, I want to start dating other people. I got a little girl attitude right then. Not that I was a girl, but I just know how the mama's attitude. Remember, Mom got mad because they did a interview in a magazine, and they said, who are you most afraid of? And I said, my mama. Remember? And it hurt her feelings at the time. I didn't mean it like that. And she said, I want to date other people. And it was like, do what? Do what? did you say to me? Do you not know who I am? I am Corey Ross. I've recorded an album. She said, I don't care. I want to date other people. Well, to make a long story short, it hurt me. A matter of fact, I left college and went back to the ranch. And I missed a week of school, heartbroken. Now all of us know from the one I'm married to now, I love that old country song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. I was on my knees, Lord, what did I do wrong? And I beat myself up. And then I get back to college in a week and I have a decision to make. I can either run to the Lord the way mom and dad had trained us up in the ways of him, or I could turn the opposite direction and turn towards the world. And most of you know that come to this church, for 2 years I went away from the Lord. It was just a little hardship or a trial and tribulation in my life, and for some reason I was tempted to go that direction. Now, I wasn't serving the devil, but I was definitely not serving the Lord. The party was at my house, actually. 605 Runnels in Big Spring, Texas. It's a Pier and Beam home. And we had so many people one day that I looked under the bottom of that thing and it was bowed. I thought, oh my Lord, that thing could cave in immediately. There was so many people. We would have one crowd on Monday, a different crowd on Tuesday, a different crowd on Wednesday, a different crowd on Thursday. And then all of us would come together on Friday and Saturday. There would be tons of people. Then most of you know I was religious because I was born again. So on Sunday we would rest. And it was just like I was just going a little bit further and a little bit further away from the Lord, until one day I got stirred up. I got on my knees in the very same house that I had done all those parties in, and I got on my knees and I said, God, forgive me, sir. I won't tell you, just for lack of time, some of the things that went on right at that very moment, but I'm telling you, I was set free of all the guilt, all the shame, all the condemnation in one little, God, forgive me. And it was all because I began to get stirred up on the inside. I mean, I'd went enough time kind of not going to church and missing and hitting and maybe doing a singing here and there to not going any time. I didn't want to go to church. But then I was wondering why all these things were happening to me. Trying to make the college national finals in rodeo. Then going on to try to make the finals in, you know, in different events in professional rodeo, and it just seemed like nothing ever worked the way I wanted them to. I could see the attacks coming from every angle until the day that I continued to stay stirred up. Read with me in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Verse 1, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy. Now, right there, you should put in your Bible your name. Just put your name right there, because really, God is talking to us individually. So it could say to Corey, my dearly beloved son. You can put daughter right there so you don't get mixed up in today's world. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from the forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of the tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfrayed faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and the other mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded, I like that word, I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, here it is, I put thee in remembrance. Remember, remember, remember that thou stir up the gift, there's that word stir, of God which is in thee by the putting on in my hands. For God hath not given us, that's us, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. But not that thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. All he's saying here, well, let me, I'll just help you understand it. Let me read it in the Amplified, verse 8. Do not blush or be ashamed then to testify to and for our Lord, nor of me a prisoner for his sake, but with me take your share of the suffering to which the preaching of the gospel may expose you, and do it. In other words, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say amen to that. Because I'm telling you, there's a temptation in Christianity today to back away to the days of Babylon, to not stand up for the Word of God, to not stand up for the Christianity that was founded in this country so many years ago. I mean, we've just let prayer be taken out of school. We've let things happen in our country that we need to stand up and take back to the glory of God. But it's going to take all of us getting stirred up so that our families aren't attacked any longer, so that when we preach the Word of God, it is yes and amen, so that when you begin to believe for the manifestations to come to pass on what you're praying about for your situations or your life, that they're not gonna be swept under the carpet with unbelief and doubt and fears, but they're going to be full of faith because you are stirred up and your God is mightier than that devil that's trying to attack you. Come on. Come on, y'all. Listen to me. We've got to start getting stirred up, because here the Apostle Paul is trying to stir up Timothy. As y'all know, in this day, man, it was rough. There was once a huge revival, and then all of a sudden they changed kings in Rome. Woo-wee. Man, he started persecuting Christians like you've never seen. And they started doing like I see some Christians do today. I mean, half the time we don't even pray in public for our meal. I mean, I don't know why. I mean, we'll bless it at home, but it's pretty important to bless the food nowadays and sanctify it by the Word of God, especially the stuff I eat. I mean, you need to say, Father, nourish my body with this chicken fried steak. Does anybody else eat grease like me? Father, help me. But I'm seeing just a watered down, you know, a form of godliness that denies the power. But not when you're stirred up. Man, when you finally are tired of that devil that's trying to destroy your marriages and your relationships and your health and your businesses and your joy and your peace, man, when you get stirred up, watch out, brother. I mean, watch out. Because then you stop being more afraid of the devil. Because really, he's supposed to be afraid of you because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you. The Jesus that the Bible says has a name above every name. But it's going to take some people nowadays to get fired back up. You know what? What if we do get persecuted for the sake of Jesus? Who cares? The Bible says in Matthew, the Beatitudes, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I'm not afraid of being persecuted. Now, I don't get persecuted much anymore in front of me in professional rodeo. I mean, because they know who I am. They know, they you would be amazed on how many beers that I'm offered in rodeo. They assume I don't have any money. They wrong. No, I just don't do it. But after a short time, now they don't even offer me a beer. They know better. I don't do that stuff. No, I've been fully persuaded, praise God. Okay, look, check this out. Okay, go to verse 9. So he's just trying to tell us in verse 8 that, hey, don't be ashamed. I mean, yeah, there may be some affliction because of the Jesus that lives on the inside of you when you have to stand up and pray. Or go to the teacher and say, I don't like that stuff being taught to my child. That's probably why my kids are homeschooled. I'd be at the school all the time nowadays. It's amazing what's going on. But listen, verse 9. Who has saved us, underline that word, us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to the works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto, verse 11, I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Here it is. I am persuaded. Say that word with me, persuaded. Say it, persuaded. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So hold fast to the form of the sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keeping by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us all, or in us. And then it goes on. I want to talk to you this morning about getting stirred up, because you notice back here in verse 6 where it says, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Every one of you has a gift. That's why I'm big in this church about don't be afraid to serve, man. Because you've been given a gift, and you need to stir up that gift. Now, it may not be all the same as one person, but all of us have a gifting somewhere, and you don't have to know all of the Bible to start working and operating in your gifting. But you got to get stirred up. You got to get stirred up to know that the devil is trying to keep you from being stirred up. That's why there's trials and tribulations. But I'm here to tell you, if you camp out in that trial or tribulation for a long period of time, it will become you. But when you go through the valley of the shadow of death, when you go through a trial and tribulation, most of you know that's come to this church for any length of time, I've always said that me and my wife do not go, and my family, we do not go through trials and tribulations like most people. You know why? Because we go through them. We don't stay in them. I don't get angry because things happen. I was roping a steer in Stephenville on Friday. I roped my first steer. I laid that trip. Man, he just went down easy. I went and tied a leg, and then that thing started trying to kick Thou a Smith. It's like I couldn't get him. It took me 17 seconds to tie him, and I had him in the 10 hole to win money. I get my second one. When I rope my steer in almost the same place to win money, my horse starts bucking. He's not bad, but I knew something was wrong. And I ended up tying this steer in 11-9, which is not bad, but 11-2 was last place in the money. I'm not there to lose. I'm not there. They don't play football to, you know, come in second. No, we want to win. Let's do what I've been trained to do. And then I was 11-7 on the third one, and I get to my horse and turn around, and he kicks loose. Right then, in my mind, I'm thinking, I wish I could eat that steer like a fajita. I don't think it all. Well, come to find out, my horse, the reason he bucked, is on his back legs, there's what they call a stifle. And it's inflamed on both sides. And I'm like, oh, that's my good horse, sir. Me and I now have an opportunity to get plumb ticked off because, oh, no, I don't need that. I'm fixing to go to the circuit finals in Prescott on Thursday. And then I fly right back home. No. Well, see, that's not a time to get in fear and doubt because some things happened that I wasn't expecting. No, it's a time to get stirred up and get in faith. So you know what I did? I went and did what the Bible says. I want to lay hands on the sick, and the Bible says they'll recover. So I laid my hands on that horse, and I just began to speak over him the anointing of healing of Jesus Christ. Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Not saying you're sick, brother. If you were, you're good now, huh? But he was good. I mean, it's going to take some stirring up, though, to excuse me, to go to that realm. Because most people go the opposite, to fear and doubt and unbelief. Oh, no, why me, Lord? Just my luck. Well, that's your problem, because you believe in luck. And there ain't no such luck in the Bible. Because there's good and bad. You know what's in the Bible? Blessings. And there's no such thing as a bad blessing. So why don't we stop using the word luck and start saying, hey, be blessed. Do good. You're a winner, not a loser. See, it's going to take us getting stirred up. But let me tell you real fast some things that try to stop you. And the first one you see in verse 7, fear. But notice Jesus tries to help us. But I did not give you a spirit, son, daughter, of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. That word fear, you know what it's trying to do? It's trying to make you have worry and anxiety. It's trying to cause you to be fear of love, fear of the unknown, fear of death, and so on. Well, when you understand that you can get stirred up in your faith, and perfect love casts out all fear, and understand that God didn't give you that spirit of fear. Well, if God didn't give the spirit of fear, who is trying to get you fearful? The enemy. The one that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10. So it's not God saying, it's good to be in fear. No. A reverence fear is way different than the scaredy cat fear. This old spirit of fear that you got to get out of that spirit of fear and stir up on the inside of you that gift, that faith that God gave you to overcome anything in this world. But here's something else that doesn't want you to get stirred up in. The devil wants you to stay in this word. Ready? Ashamed. Look at verse 8. In the Amplified, we kind of read it, do not blush or be ashamed. In other words, you know what it's saying? Stand up for your God. Man, stand up for your faith. Come on. Stand up for what you trust in. And if you're born again and Jesus is the Lord of your life, the Bible says that you've been translated from the kingdom of darkness that all of us was in before we gave our life to Jesus, and you're in now the kingdom of light through Jesus Christ, the light. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become what? New. Well, they will not become new until you start getting stirred up about who you are in Christ Jesus. And the way you get stirred up is you start reading this Bible and applying it to your life. Don't be ashamed. I love it when I heard, yesterday, that a high school is under attack because the kids of the high school decided to say the Lord's Prayer over the speaker at the football game. They're trying to stop that. Huh. The kids can do anything. They have a right. Now the teachers and, you know, others can't start it. They can join in, praise God. But I kind of liked it when here at the football game, Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Our Father, and it's a kid saying it, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, say it, and forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, or the ones that sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Come on. See, that's stirring up. Man, that ought to get someone fighting. All right, come on. Yeah, let's kill each other now. Let's go hit somebody. Jesus' name. I'm okay with that. I told a kid, he was in the steer wrestling. It's junior high, my little boy. He's only 80 pounds, 75 pounds, 60. He's a little guy. Y'all know Seth. He's not very big, right? And he's trying to shoot dog, where they have to dog this steer and get him over on his side. You see it in the national finals. They call steer wrestling at the national finals the big man's event. You got to have some weight. And here's little Seth. And so I get him out there, and we're practicing for the steer dog in the junior high rodeo. One kid is double the size of Seth, and he's a baby compared to Seth, because Seth's tough. So I looked at him and I said, "Your girlfriend just broke up with you." He just laughed. No, I said, "No, get mad. You got to get mad, because you gotta bear down and get this big 300-400 pound, 450-pound animal to its side. And you're little. Get mad, boy." And I said, "I want to see it in your face. Get mad, boy. Come on. Don't you smile when you say I'm fixing to rip your neck off, steer." Now, I know animal rights people don't like that, but hey. Listen to me. We don't really rip the steer's neck off. They're just barely twist. But the steer's supposed to go down so that you can doctor them at the ranch or whatever, okay? Animal rights people? Y'all that are watching? I said, "You get mad." I'm not talking. The Bible says to be angry but sin not. I'm talking about there's times that we need to stir ourselves up to get ticked off at that devil, that, and you command him to get out of your life in Jesus' name, and stop messing with your kids. Stop trying to cause addiction to come on your life and consume you. Why don't you begin to start speaking up and not being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Come on. Man, when you get that, that's just getting you stirred up so that you can go out in the world, not being of it, but in it. And you don't have to be defeated any longer. You can have victory. Let me see if I'm almost done. Here's two things, and I'll close, that won't stop you. I mean, you get stirred up. And we've talked about it just a little bit, but write it down. Be persuaded. Look at verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things." Yeah, maybe I am going through some things, the Apostle Paul says. I mean, he's only writing the whole book of Philippians when he's in that prison called Mamertine prison, when they shot him through the floor, dropped him down to the in a basement and covered it up. There was no light, utter darkness, full of rats, eating flesh rats. The sewer ran through that little area. You can go to it in ancient Rome today, the Imperial Palace, and you can see it has the Apostle Paul's cross upside down, that they were mocking him. That's what they crucified him on, and so on. And here the Apostle Paul says, yeah, maybe I am going through some stuff. Or maybe it's you. Yeah, maybe I am going through some stuff. I've lost a family member. They're in heaven. I didn't like my dad leaving at 60-some years old. But by golly, he's in heaven, and I have to continue on. I have to pick up his mantle and carry on what he taught me. Amen. You see. So it's time for us to be persuaded no matter what we're going through. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I've believed. I am persuaded. Say that with me. Ready? I am persuaded. Say it again. I am. Say it with some meaning, man, like you're talking to the devil that's messing with you. I, devil, am persuaded, you see. Because we got to get persuaded and be committed, praise God. And then finally, the last thing is hold fast. Don't you give up. The Bible says when you can do all you can do to stand, stand therefore. It didn't say give up. Man, we're not giving up. I realize that our country is divided and one's going towards God and one is not. It's just, you better open up your eyes. There is one party that won't even have prayer in their inauguration or their whatever you call the thing, their big meeting, their convention. Love it. I mean, I don't understand it. They was debating over saying the prayer. No, we got a lot of unbelief. And then you have one party, though. I'm talking, they hire the Christian artists to come. Well, I don't know what side you're going to be on, but I'm going to be on that side. I'm going to be on the side that is still acknowledging God Almighty as the ruler of this earth. Forget that freedom of speech stuff. It's a bunch of hogwash. Anyway, you know what? Just the enemy that trying to keep us from doing the will of God, huh?
That's right. Amen.
Take prayer at school, huh? Yo mama, devil. You see, if you get that attitude, I'm not talking about being prideful and arrogant and that kind of stuff. I know, don't take it that way if I am. I'm trying to help you understand that it's time that you quit letting that devil whip you and you whip him. And you get that look, but you know you got it. You ain't gonna mess with me. And there, when you get that look, there ain't no kidding around with that look. You ever seen that look from a woman? Is she beside you? Don't look to your right, brother. There's protection. But I'm just saying, stir up, man. Come on. Come on, we have victory through Jesus. We're the head. We're not the tail. Come on, we can do all things through Christ. Come on, Jesus. Glory be to God. Every time they say the name of Jesus in heaven, the Bible says that angels yell out, glory, 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 glory. And Jesus is here right now. Right here in the midst of us. If you can't feel it, something's wrong. We got to get you stirred up in that wood, dried off and get it lit back up. Man, I love it when I see young couples that are in high school just wanting to serve God, coming to church. They ain't afraid. And then there's something about them standing up. Hey, volleyball team, basketball team, football team, let's pray. You see, that's some people getting stirred up, not ashamed. They're fully persuaded, man, that my God, He is wonderful God in my life. And He reigns. So I say today in Jesus' name, no matter what you're going through, you get fired back up. Come on. Get fired back up. Come on, get stirred up. Come on, get excited about Jesus. And now listen to me, I'll say this. This is my second closing. Y'all know we all get three closings. All preachers get that third. And I'll try to just keep it on the second closing, okay? I got 5 minutes. So everybody turn around and look at the big clock back there. You'll see. Look how big that thing is up high. See that thing? Oh, my Lord, that Look at that thing that moved, that second hand. Oh, my Lord, it's going fast. Let's all watch it for a minute. What was I saying? My second closing. It might just be the first closing if I can't remember the second one. I'm fully persuaded that no matter what, my God is going to reign in the midst of any battle. I'm not going to tell you another battle. I'm just saying it's time to get stirred up. Come on. Get awakened. Get awakened. Come on. Let's get fired back up so that we can withstand. We can stand and withstand the enemy no matter what he brings. And you keep that joy. That's what I was going to say. Don't you lose your joy. Because if you lose joy, you've lost strength. That means you focus more on the problem than on the solver. No, no, no. Stir up, stir up, stir up. Come on. Get stirred up. Get fired back up. Joni told me that her family member's most winningest coach. Well, that takes a lot to win coaching, right? I mean, whoo. Because there's always people trying to knock you off. That's exactly how the devil does. But not when you're stirred up. Because when you can get those kids fired up, man, when you can get a believer fired up, that you got more power than that devil, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, that's when you overcome in Jesus' name. Amen? Did you have a good time this morning? Glory be to God. Come on, someone say that. Glory. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just stand up just for a second. Let's just praise him just for a short time. Just begin to say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Someone, just give me some music if you don't mind, Mike. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Come on. Come on. That's how you get stirred up. Father, we love you. You're worthy of praise, sir. Father, thank you for being my God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. We're not ashamed. We may not be Pentecostal or whatever. No, there's nothing wrong with that, being excited about Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Now look up. Don't ever bow down to that devil. But there's a time when you got to speak. When you're stirred up, you speak. Devil, get away from my family. Get away from my team. Get away from my school. Get away from this church. He ain't got no right here, thank God. Stir up, man. Get that excitement back. Now listen to me, I'll tell you this. When you're stirred up, doesn't mean you start beating people over the head with the Bible. Amen? It seems like sometimes we can do that. Glory be to God. Get saved or go to hell, son. You know. No, we calm down. I'm just saying, get excited that your God reigns. You have victory. You have victory. Say that with me. I have victory. Come on, say it with some faith. I have victory. I have it. Amen. Father, I love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing here at Cowboy Church. Gosh, I can't wait for Tuesday night, sir, to be able to speak into the lives of just a few people. Man, I hope, Father, bring them, sir. Bring people that are 40 and under so that we can just mingle together, and then we'll all come together eventually in Bible study. But, Father, cause revival to come to the youngest, just like our older men and women have, that fire that they have, give it to the young people like never before, sir. In Jesus' name. With no one looking around, every head bowed. If you've never given your life to Jesus, I want you to do it right now. I'm talking about if you died and left this earth and you stood before God, the Bible says He says one of two things. If Jesus is Lord, He'll say, well done, come on into heaven, thou good and faithful servant. But if you choose not to receive Him while you're here on this earth, you didn't want to have anything to do with this God stuff, you have that right because God gave you the will to do it. Please don't go by that will. No, go by the will of God that wants you to go to heaven and not hell. But there's only one way, according to John chapter 14, verse 6. It's through Jesus. He's the only way, truth, and life. The only way to get to the Father in heaven is by Him, Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer. If you're here this morning or you're watching and you've never given Jesus the lordship of your life, you've never said, Jesus, come in to my life and save me, I want you to do it right now with all of us. We're all going to pray it, even Christians. We're not getting saved again. We're just going to pray it with you. You ready? If you've never been born again, you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, pray this prayer with all of us right now. Ready? Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life. Save me. Be my friend. Forgive me of all my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, when I count to three, I want you to be bold and not ashamed, right? To raise your hand up and then just put it right back down. The ones that raise their hand, you're saying, I just gave my life to Jesus. I didn't know if I was going to heaven or hell, but now I know, I'm persuaded that Jesus is my Lord. I'm going to heaven. If that was you and you just prayed that prayer for the first time, get that hand up at three and then just put it right back down. Ready? Boldness. One, two, three, go. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate it. Come on, raise it up if you hadn't already. If you have, just leave it down. Anybody else? We're going to come and give you a Bible. Just give you a Bible. We're not going to embarrass you. All right, look at me, y'all. Three people gave their lives to Jesus. Listen. We gave you a Bible. Inside that Bible has a little card. If you can fill it out, please do. But listen, now it's time that you start learning who you are in Christ. In that Bible, even though it's just a King, it's just a, it's just a New Testament, I believe. I don't think they have any Old Testament because we're a New Testament church anyway. So it'll help you learn who you are, but come to church. Amen? Start learning who you are. You're my brother and sister in Christ. We're family. Amen? We got to start treating each other like family. Amen. Hope y'all had a good time this morning. Amen. Love you. Let's pray. Again, Bible study. If you're 40 and under, please be a part of that. Just come check it out. We're going to get into the Word. We will not keep you long. There'll be a babysitter for kids. I'm going to ask Howdy and Angela to join me that night if their kids aren't doing anything. I want to start reviving the younger generation. The older folk, man, we're fired up. I love that. Now let's get the young couples and their children to start getting involved and serving, not just in this church, but in life, being the leaders that God's created y'all to be. So don't miss 6:30 on Tuesday for a little fellowship, and then at 7, and we won't stay in there but 30 minutes to an hour, and we'll be gone by 8 o'clock and get home, get those kids home, and we're going to have a good time. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing here. We thank you, Lord, that now you get to go with us because the Bible says, say it with me if you know it, you never leave us and you never forsake us. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. With a big round of applause, you're dismissed. Love you.
speakerphone. You can hear him preaching from miles away. Calling the saints, calling the sinners. Come what come, all the losers and winners. When they get together, they start to sing. Ooh, 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 ooh. They pump it up, they lay it down. Shouting and screaming till the fire comes round. They rock and roll, they lock and load. Gonna chase the devil right out of this town. Raise your hands and let it.